You are Locked On Orioles, your daily podcast on the Baltimore Orioles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Locked On Orioles, your place for Orioles news and analysis from the clubhouse to the warehouse and beyond. As always, I'm your host, Justin McGuire. A little later in the podcast, we're going to be joined by Fangraphs writer Craig Edwards, who's going to talk to us about Dylan Bundy, who pitches tonight against the Blue Jays in Baltimore. We'll get to that in a second, like I said, but first I think we really have to talk about what happened over the weekend when the Orioles, surprisingly, at least to me, took 3 out of 4 from the Yankees in the Bronx and now find themselves at 4-6, which, well, nothing to write home about. It's certainly a better record than I think a lot of us thought they were going to have emerging from this tough four-game series, particularly when we know Dylan Bundy wasn't going to pitch. To talk about that, we're joined now again by Josh Soroka, who is a co-host of the excellent Section 336 podcast. Josh, I don't know about you, but I sort of thought the Yankees were going to win probably at least 3 of these games and maybe sweep the Orioles based on the way the Orioles were playing going into it. And also, you know, based on the fact that we knew Bundy wasn't going to pitch and that we had Tillman and Wright going, it seemed like the worst case scenario in a lot of ways. So are you, like me, really surprised that things turned out the way they did?
Sure. I thought best case scenario, we can split in New York. But then I continued to watch the Orioles in Houston and they were just ugly and flat and nothing was working. So yeah, I don't think anyone went into the New York series thinking positive. The Orioles were horrible in New York last season, and to take 3 out of 4 in New York is a whole lot of fun. And I think it taught us some things about this team.
Yeah, it's interesting because I saw a quote from Caleb Joseph before I came in here, and I think it was Rock Kabaka who tweeted it, so I want to give Rock credit for that. But he said something like, Joseph said something to the effect of, you know, this team reminds me a little bit of the 14 team, the 2014 team, you know, the very resilient, would never say die attitude and that kind of thing. And, you know, 10 games into the season, it may be a little early to say that, but I think it is interesting that the Orioles have won 3 extra inning games so far. That they have, you know, they battled back today in a game that really they had no right to win after Mike Wright was chased after in 2/3 of an inning in the first. This is the kind of game that if the season does go well, they're going to look back on it later on and say that was a turning point, I think.
Yeah, and this team, what I learned with this team in New York is that this team fights. And exactly like Caleb Joseph was saying, it doesn't give up. To go 14 innings on Friday night, to go 12 innings on Sunday. And there were so many times in Sunday's game where things seemed to fall the Yankees' way. And then just the Orioles somehow gutted it out.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, it was one of those games. And I think the Friday game was a bit like this, too, where you kind of felt like, well, they tied it up or they're going into extra innings or whatever, but ultimately the Yankees are going to figure something out here. And, you know, we know in that Friday night game they had that play at the plate where Michael Givens made the great play to get the runner out. And, you know, things have just sort of been breaking their way in this series. And, you know, these are a couple of really close wins, obviously, the extra inning wins. You know, Caleb Joseph mentioned the 14 team, but this series reminded me of the 2012 team, right? You know, a team where extra inning, one run games, and where just things seem to be going their way, even when it seems like they shouldn't be.
Yeah. And yes, this season, this series was a whole lot of fun because on Friday night, we saw the two guys at third base that was called wrong by the umps. We saw the play with Givens at home. And then on Sunday, we get to see that 1-2-5 double play in the 12th. It was just fun baseball this season to see stuff that you normally don't get to see that often. But I think my big takeaway when I was looking back at this series was some of the pitchers. And Mike Wright, fine, that's done with. But when I looked at Aroha, who I know I'm saying wrong, and I know there's 4 syllables in there somewhere, I just haven't found the 4th one.
Well, you're closer than Gary Thorne, I think, to saying it right.
Yes, exactly. And I do know how to say Santander, so I'm ahead of Gary on that one. But he pitched 2 hitless innings on Friday night. He went 2.1 today on Sunday as we record this, which is 1 hit. And then Richard Blyer, who pitched in Friday, Saturday, and Sunday and only gave up 1 hit on Friday. And today and Sunday, he pitched 3 innings. I mean, those are 2 guys that I did not expect anything from. And in some ways, I thought they shouldn't be in the pen and don't deserve to be in the pen. And those 2 guys really surprised me this weekend.
Yeah, I think that definitely has got to be one of the takeaways is that the bullpen looked pretty good throughout the series. And really, particularly on Sunday, where I thought You know, I think if you do the math, they allowed something like 2 runs in, you know, 13 and a third innings or something like that, which is obviously mighty impressive given how tired that bullpen was and given, you know, how many great hitters there are in the Yankee lineup. Now, we know they're not all hitting up to their capabilities right now. Stanton in particular clearly isn't Stanton right now. He's not hitting the way he's capable of. And the Orioles certainly got, you know, that was certainly something that helped the Orioles. They didn't have to worry about him the way maybe they're going to the next time they play them, for instance. But yeah, I mean, I think the Yankees have got to be a little concerned about things at this point. I mean, no, it's early and I know they'll probably be fine, but they can't be happy with the way this series went.
No. And that's why it was so important for the Orioles to take advantage at this time. If you look at the AL East right now, the Red Sox are on top, like 8-1, I believe. And then you look at their schedule and they played the Rays and the Marlins and the Rays. That's all they've played are the two worst teams in baseball. Well, the Orioles have had a really tough stretch with the Twins, the Astros, and the Yankees. And to take advantage of the Yankees in New York, despite them being down some players and really getting to the bullpens on both teams, it was definitely important to get these wins.
Yeah, and like I said, there was a lot of fun stuff out of this weekend. I think seeing Manny hit 2 homers in a game, and then another one in another game, and then Santander getting his first major league homer in Sunday's game. Seeing Chris Davis look alive a little bit, at least for one at bat. There was definitely a lot of positives on the offensive side as well, because we know going into this series, the bats had really been dormant.
Yeah, and the big negative from this series was Mike Wright on Sunday, and I think we can all just brush past that because we know that Alex Cobb, a guy who's better than Mike Wright, better than Chris Tillman, better than Gausman in many ways so far, is going to be taking that slot. So we're not worried about that slot. I think that's going to really help with our bullpen and get our bullpen some rest, having a guy like Cobb in there. So I'm hopeful after this New York series.
Yeah, it is amazing how much difference 4 days makes. Because like I said, the last time I recorded a podcast was, I believe it was Thursday morning or Wednesday evening or Thursday morning. I forget exactly when, but it was before the Yankee series. And yeah, things at that point just weren't looking good at all. And it really is amazing how much better they look now just after, you know, it's 4 games in a 162 game season. It doesn't mean anything, but you know, this early in the season to get some momentum like this, you got to hope that it works in their favor. And it sure was a lot of fun as a fan to watch it. I mean, it was stressful, you know, 2 extra inning games. Things were close throughout, and the one game they lost was, you know, even close into the late innings. So it was a stressful series, but it was a lot of fun. And I think it's certainly makes watching the games a lot more fun now than it was going into the series when you're thinking, they're just going to get blown out every game. So what is your, you mentioned the bullpen. Now, do you have any concerns going into this Toronto series that the bullpen is just going to be totally spent?
I don't. I'm not too concerned because I like the way they performed. I like them. I was surprised that Tanner Scott got caught up and he was serviceable, that he did a fine job. I liked that move. I liked the quote from Richard Blair after the game where he said, "I told Buck I had 9 years in the minors, so I had 9 years off. I'll pitch every day for the rest of the year. I really don't care. As long as I'm in the big leagues, I'm available." I like that attitude. I like the attitude that everyone on this team wants to be part of this and make this work. So I'm not worried about the bullpen now, partially because we got Bundy going tomorrow, and I think he can give them a little break, and we don't need to pitch 13 innings from the bullpen tomorrow.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, that hopefully when you got your guy who's clearly emerged as the ace of the staff at this point, you know, it's early, but I think there's no doubt that he's the best pitcher on this staff right now. When you have him going in game one, again, hopefully he can give you 7 innings and you don't have to overtax the bullpen, give the guys in there a little bit of a break until at least Tuesday. So that's a nice segue into my next segment. Like I said, we're going to have Craig Edwards, who is a writer for Fangraphs, is going to talk about Bundy and how he's done so far and why extra day of rest may actually benefit him going forward. So we'll get to that segment in just a second. And Josh, thanks for joining us today.
All right. Thank you.
Hey, folks, just a reminder, for all the original content of the Locked On Podcast Network, both the podcasts and the written content on every team, go to LockedOnSports.com. And of course, for all your content on the Baltimore Orioles, make sure to go to LockedOnOrioles.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Locked On Orioles. We're joined now by Craig Edwards. He's a writer for FanGraphs. And recently he wrote an article about Dylan Bundy. So I wanted to ask him a few questions about that. Welcome, Craig.
Hey, how's it going?
It's good. Good. Thanks for being here. Your article looks at Bundy based on off his first two starts this year and then off his starts from the previous years, particularly last year, and asks the question of whether he benefits from an extra day of rest in terms of his performance and that kind of thing. So I'll get to that in just a second. But the first thing I want to ask you is, just based on his first two starts this year, what have you liked about Dylan Bundy's performance? He's obviously been pretty effective. What are we seeing out of him that looks good?
You know, I mean, you know, he doesn't throw the fastball that he, you know, once had when he was a mega prospect, but it's still plenty good. And, you know, I think that his best pitch is that slider. And, you know, as long as he's got that slider, you know, he's going to get swings and misses, and he's going to get a lot of outs with it. And I think that's the most impressive part. I mean, he's added a sinker, it looks like, the first few starts of the season. And we'll see if that's something that carries forward. I don't know that it's, you know, a major plus for him, but it's something that, you know, we might see maybe get a few more quicker outs, you know, that sort of thing, you know, potentially pitch deeper in games. But it's still the for me, it's still that slider. That's what makes Bundy go.
Yeah, so when that slider's going, like as we've seen these first two games, the hitters have an awful tough time making contact with it and putting the ball into play hard. So the question you looked at, like I said in this article, obviously his second start of the year came against the Astros, and it was actually on 5 days rest instead of four. They could have gone with, as you pointed out, they could have gone with him on 4 days rest this early in the season, just in his regular, you know, his regular rotation spot. But they opted to give him an extra day. So you went back and looked at the question of, like, is he more effective when he has that extra rest traditionally, going back to last year and you know, even in prior years? What did you find when you look at that question?
You know, I think that the sort of the conclusion is maybe inconclusive, but at the same time, when he's gotten extra rest, he's pitched a lot better. You know, and whether you want to look at it from runs perspective, that's sort of the most basic. And then you want to look at strikeouts, walks, home runs, and it's really most dramatic in strikeouts and walks when he had an extra day's rest or more than an extra day's rest last season. The numbers they changed pretty dramatically. He was actually on regular days rest, which would be, you know, 4 days rest, regular five rotation turn. He was pretty mediocre, and I don't know that you can necessarily chalk that up, you know, 100% to the day's rest. You know, some of it's just could be a little bit of random fluctuation, you know, depending on, you know, when he was getting his starts throughout the season and when he was pitching well. You know, last season he pitched the best in April and in August, and that happens to be, you know, the time of the year when you have the biggest rest, you know, heading into the season. And then in August, you had the All-Star break, and he had a couple longer chunks in there, and those were his best 2 months. And so far this season, we're seeing that repeat. And I even went down to, you know, the velocity level, just looked at how fast his four-seam fastball was when he had normal rest versus extra rest. And it was about half a mile per hour, which, you know, isn't nothing, but, you know, it's not enough to say for sure. You know, if the fastball's a little bit faster, that it makes a difference.
So I guess one of the questions then is, if the Orioles, if Buck Showalter feel like, you know, feels like he is benefiting from an extra day's rest or two extra days rest, and that he's more effective, is there realistically anything they can do to get him that kind of extra rest in a 162 game season and with a pitching staff that doesn't have you know, tons of depth? Is there any way realistically they can do that?
I think there's ways you can get him an extra day's rest here and there. This season is the first one in the, you know, when they agreed to the new CBA, one of the things that the players got was an extra 4 days of rest during the season. So, you know, every time you have, you know, one extra day sprinkled, you know, basically one a month or one every other month, that's, you know, that's one more opportunity where you can get him an extra day's rest. And, you know, you think that maybe over the course of the season, and all of a sudden you've got maybe, you know, 20 of the 30 starts with an extra day's rest, and that could have a nice impact for him. It's not going to be possible every single time, just because you're going to have, you know, stretches where you have 8 games in a row without a day off or whatever it is, and then there's nothing you can do about it. But I think that the new schedules should help a little bit, and you know, with the off days, they should be able to plan something around it. And you know, when they get Cobb into the rotation, I think that should help solidify things a little bit, just for the rotation in general, and hopefully with the depths, so that they don't feel too pressured to keep him. Where you might skip a fifth starter or something like that. You know, hopefully the Orioles can go throughout the season without feeling like they need to not use that fifth guy in the rotation. And as long as they have a fifth guy, whoever that may be, it's going to help make sure that Bundy gets as much rest as possible.
You had a couple of quotes in your article from Buck Showalter, I think from last season, indicated. Do you think that this is an issue he is aware of? I mean, I know Bundy has this large injury history, and that's one of the reasons that they were trying to get him extra rest last year some. But does this seem like something that the Orioles seem to be aware of, and that do you think realistically they are going to do what you talked about, trying to get him maybe 20 of his 30 rests, or I'm sorry, 20 of his 30 starts on extra rest? Does it seem like something that they're cognizant of?
It seems that way. I think that they know, like you mentioned, he's got that significant injury history, and last year was his first year as a full-time starter, and he's still only 25 years old. And so, generally speaking, teams are being more and more conservative about these arms, and they're probably going to be more so with Bundy. Whether or not they know for sure, or they believe that giving the extra day's rest is something that makes him an actual better pitcher on the days he does pitch, I don't know. But I know that, they're aware of the fact that getting him, as much rest as possible is going to be good for him, given his injury history and given, the fact that he's still a young pitcher who, at the end of last season, he still only had 170 innings. So it's not like a guy that you necessarily want to push forward to, 200 or more innings, that maybe Dylan Bundy pitching 150 to 180 innings is going to be a lot better and a lot healthier for him than trying to push him every fifth day to go 7 innings, that sort of thing. I think that's something that they're aware of, whether it the minutiae of sort of him being actually better when he has more rest, I don't know. But I think the most important part for the Orioles is making sure that he's healthy. And I think that they recognize that getting him more rest is the best way to keep him healthy.
I don't know. I assume that there have been studies done on this, but in general, this question of a little extra rest, is this something that most pitchers tend to benefit from, or is it really just depend on the pitcher as far as you know?
I think it's dependent on the pitcher. Some players are just better with the routine. And so, if you have your throw day in the middle and then you've got your start every fifth day, that your arm gets used to building up the strength and then wearing out and building up, over the course of the season. And so that it might be better for them to pitch every fifth day. There's been the biggest comparison is, either a college pitchers who, pitch Fridays, or, over in Japan where they pitch once a week. Whether or not that's something that would benefit everyone, it's hard to say. You're going to see teams at some point experiment more with a 6-man rotation and maybe seeing if that helps more. But with the rosters the way they are, it's difficult to have a 6-man rotation and have a full and complete bullpen the way that teams use them now. Because if you have a 6-man rotation, then you really want those pitchers to go, 6-7, maybe sometimes even 8 innings. Otherwise, you're going to wear down that bullpen pretty quickly. And that doesn't seem the way teams prefer to go. I know the incidence of Tommy John surgery in Japan is a lot less than what it is here. But I don't know for sure that that's because of the way that they pitcher, if that's, you know, just has more to do with, you know, diagnosing things, you know, the prevalence of the surgery here, where it's just, you know, almost commonplace. So I don't really know whether it's the way forward or not, but I'm sure that it's worth considering for some pitchers. And it's quite possible that Dylan Bundy is one of those guys.
Yeah, like we said, particularly with his, you know, his injury history, it does seem like that would make some sense, that it would benefit him maybe more than other pitchers who haven't dealt with as much of that over their careers. Now, you pointed out he's only 25 years old, which I think is surprising to a lot of people, because it seems like he's been around forever. You know, he was a top prospect, you know, what, 5-6 years ago, and it's just been, you know, it's been a series of things with him. But he's finally looks like he's healthy, looks like he's pitching. What realistically do you think Orioles fans can expect from him, you know, not just this year, but going forward? Do you think he's going to emerge as that ace that we've been looking for so long?
You know, it's really there, you know. You know, he had it for 2 months last season, and for 3 months he was mediocre, and then at the end of the season, it netted out to an above average pitcher. You know, if he has 3 good months this year, and, you know, maybe 2 so-so months, you know, then all of a sudden, you know, he's up in that next level. If he pitches 4 months, you know, not even with like 1 or 2 so-so months, but if he has 4 months like last April and like last August, I mean, that's probably one of the top 20 pitchers in baseball. So I think that it's right there for him. You know, but it's hard to say if he's going to be able to complete that next step. But I think that it's a possibility. I think that if he can sustain sort of the performance that he started this season with, that, you know, he could be one of the top 20 pitchers in baseball. You know, maybe pushing top 10, but I think that's asking a little bit too much.
Yeah. I mean, certainly the talent is there. And like I said, we've seen the results, not consistently, but we've certainly seen the results at different times that show that he does have that kind of talent, I think. One last thing, when you, in your article, you, I think it was the last paragraph, in fact, you said, you know, that this idea of, you know, maybe getting him extra rest to get him at his most effective is something the Orioles may need to do if they're planning to contend for, you know, for 6 months. Given that the Orioles have gotten off to a pretty slow start, let's just say not the start they were hoping for, I guess the question is, how would their approach or should their approach be different to him depending on whether they are a team that is, you know, well out of things by the middle of May, or they're a team that kind of hovers around that wild card race for a while? You know what I mean? Like, should there be a difference in terms of whether they're a contender or not?
You know, I don't think so. I think that, you know, it's if they're out of it in July and August, then maybe you sort of slow things down a bit more than you would have, you know, like, you know, they didn't have them pitch very much last September. But I think that generally speaking, you know, if for whatever reason they're way out on June 1st, I don't think you really alter things too much until you get to, you know, August and September, and then you think about altering things. But you know, for the foreseeable future, at least till the trade deadline, I don't think that you really impact how you handle them, because, you know, you want him healthy this year, you want him healthy next year. And, you know, whatever you can do to maximize that, I think that's what they will do. But I don't see that it really affecting things, you know, until at least August.
All right. Well, Craig, thanks so much for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
And that's going to do it for another edition of Locked On Orioles. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.